Welcome to the White House Family Spoken Novels Podcast, episode 220. Today we are reading chapter 14 of the novel, The Unspoken Prayer Request, by Daniel White III with his wife Marika White. When your heart was filled with anger, did you think to pray? Did you plead for grace, my brother, that you might forgive another who had crossed your way? 1 Chronicles 16:11. Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face continually. Aubrey sat on her bed examining her latest purchase. Holding the Smith & Wesson revolver, she recalled the crash course in self-defense she had taken with Jennifer at the indoor gun range. She had no real desire to use the gun, but Jennifer would not stop pressuring her until she did something to ensure her own safety. The phone rang. "Hello, Jennifer, have you had to use it yet?" Aubrey asked her friend. "Nope, not yet," Jennifer said. "I feel safe now. I won't worry about a thing now. I hope I never have to use it, though." "Yeah, me too," Audrey said. "Are you going to tell Jamal? You know, kind of put him on notice," Jennifer asked. "Are you crazy?" Aubrey said. "He may just use it on me in a fit of anger. He gets crazy enough to do that." "I really hope you two can work things out," Jennifer said before saying goodbye. "Don't be afraid to use it in self-defense. Not to kill, only to stop him from hurting you. As I told you before, you're welcome to come over to my place anytime," Jennifer said. "Thanks a lot, Jennifer. I thank God for you," Aubrey said. Aubrey told her mother about the can of mace she had bought, but not the gun. She and Jennifer had been going to the shooting range for the past 3 weeks. Only Simone knew about it. Mother Jameson chuckled. "I can just picture you aiming and spraying." "On a serious note, though, Aubrey," her mother said, "you know the Bible says safety is of the Lord. The Lord wants us to be wise and prepared for unexpected negative situations, and he wants us to take the necessary precautions. But he wants us, more importantly, to put our trust in him. I'm really praying for you and Jamal, and I have the church family still praying for you also." "Don't worry, I have not put your business out in the street. I presented it as an unspoken prayer request. Remember, Aubrey, prayer changes things." After a few days of peace in the marriage, Jamal's drinking and out-of-control behavior picked up again. His anger and jealousy seemed to have increased. Things took a turn for the worse one evening when he started accusing Aubrey of flirting with one of her male clients. The client came into Katrina Bravosky's one morning, seeking help in turning a spare room in his home into a home office for his wife. It was to be his anniversary gift to her. Aubrey was sent to take a look at the room and to offer suggestions for the best furniture, color scheme, carpet, and curtains. Jamal, who had been driving by Aubrey's job site to keep tabs on her, happened to pass by the moment she was leaving to visit the client's house. He ended up seeing her leaving the house with the client before driving back to her job. Once he saw that she was back at work, he headed to the bar. Aubrey got home half an hour later than normal, having stopped to pick up a large pizza, salad, and iced tea. She placed her portfolio and purse on the kitchen table and went to find Jamal. Jamal was in his usual spot, seated in the leather recliner in the game room. Aubrey pushed the door open and stuck her head in the room. The television was blasting and Jamal was sound asleep. "It's a miracle you're not deaf yet," she muttered as she put the television on mute. Jamal stirred. "Jamal, I'm home. Your phone must be off because I could not get in touch with you. Want to join me for pizza? I made another room sale today." Jamal barely opened his eyes. "Don't worry about me. I'll be eating soon." Aubrey noticed 3 empty cans of Schlitz Malt Liquor Bowl laying on the floor, as well as a half-finished bottle of MD 2020, also known as Mad Dog 2020, resting on the side table. She decided to leave him alone, hoping he would just stay there and sleep off his drunkenness. Back in the kitchen, she called Jennifer, Simone, and her mother, in sequence, to share the good news with them while enjoying her pizza. "I know how to pull those customers in," she bragged. "I'm so happy for you," her mother said. "I've been praying for your success." "Well, God is answering your prayers, mother," Aubrey said. "He can answer yours too if you pray to him," said Mother Jameson. Aubrey did not hear Jamal enter the kitchen until he staggered over to her, snatched the phone from her hand, and said loud enough for Mother Jameson to hear, "Who are you talking to? Your new boyfriend this time, huh?" Jamal slammed the phone onto the receiver and put her in a headlock. Caught off guard and struggling to free herself, Aubrey yelled, "Jamal, what are you doing? What is the problem now?" "Oh, you don't know? I saw you leaving the man's house. I followed both of you back to your office. You're using this job as an excuse to fool around with other men behind my back." Aubrey was shocked to find out that Jamal had been following her. She knew that trying to explain the situation to him was useless. Right now, it was survival time. Jamal's grip around her neck tightened. "You're choking me," Aubrey gagged. "That's my plan," he sneered. Aubrey clawed at his arm as best she could. She got a few good scratches in, but not enough to make him release her. "Mace, where's my mace?" As they struggled, the open box of pizza and the open bottle of iced tea were knocked to the floor. Aubrey managed to sink her teeth into the fold of Jamal's elbow. Jamal groaned in pain. He loosened his grip around Aubrey's neck, just enough for her to grab for her open purse, which was sitting on the table. She managed to tip the purse over and catch the can of mace as it rolled out. Jamal swung her around towards him, intending to deliver a few blows to her face. Aubrey sprayed frantically. Jamal's grip loosened as he clutched his face. She swung out of his grasp and spun around to the other side of the table, using it as a shield. Jamal rubbed his left eye with one hand while grabbing aimlessly with the other in an attempt to regain his hold on her. "You're gonna pay for cheating on me," he yelled. Aubrey sprayed furiously while backing away, but he staggered towards her using his arm to shield his face. Aubrey ran around the corner of the table to grab her gun, which had fallen on the floor when she grabbed the mace. She held the gun with both hands, the barrel pointed towards Jamal. "If you don't stop right there, I'm going to shoot, Jamal," she said. "A gun, huh? You don't have the guts to pull the trigger," Jamal scoffed, still approaching her. "Where did you get the gun anyway? Did your new boyfriend give it to you, huh? I'm warning you, Jamal, if you don't stop right there, I'm going to shoot." Jamal hesitated and then lunged for her. Aubrey tightened her grip on the gun and slipped her finger over the trigger. "God, please make him stop. I don't want to do this," she prayed. She closed her eyes, preparing to shoot. Suddenly, she heard a sickening crack, and her eyes flew open in time to see Jamal's head bouncing off of the corner of the dining room table, a piece of pepperoni pizza flying out from underneath his foot. Jamal grasped the air with his fingers, desperately attempting to regain his balance, but he fell backwards with a heavy thud, his head striking the ceramic tile floor. Mother Jameson had heard Jamal's last words before he hung up. "Who are you talking to? Your new boyfriend?" She spent the next few minutes dialing and redialing their house number, as well as Aubrey's cell number. "Come on, pick up. Oh God, let her be all right," she prayed over and over. Seeing that she was having no success in reaching her daughter by phone, she jumped in her car and sped to her daughter's home. As she drove, she dialed 911 and gave them her daughter's address. "We'll send a couple of officers over immediately," the dispatcher assured her. "I'm on my way over there myself," Mother Jameson said. Aubrey was exhausted and terrified at what took place. She tossed the gun aside and ran to where her